Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moses is a message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.
Jimhotep, greetings and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiyinka 7 in the house. I am your advocate, the one you need, and your advisor, the one you want. I happen to be your emperor. I'm here to provide you with the desires of your heart, your emperor. And remember, I do require an escort. I'm going to call in my drummers now and see if they can give me that encore. Drummers, will you please come in, please? They're on their way, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. So fine, wouldn't you all agree? We'd like to welcome you once again to tuning in to today's segment. And as you know, we are featuring the topic on reparations. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are featuring the topic on today's segment of reparation. We're going to be looking at plans of reparation. What type of plans do we need to look at when we make our decision on the path we will take for obtaining reparation? We're going to be taking a look at the Chinese plan, and we're going to also talk in depth about the Native Americans and the types of plans that they use. Now, we did say that Dr. Claude Anderson presented the first affirmative action plan that was also to be used for, the reparation plan. And that plan got vetoed. It never made it through. However, Dr. Claude Anderson still thinks that that was the best thing, that the affirmative action was killed off so they could start from fresh and that they could use a different path, not necessarily dealing with the Chinese, but looking at some of the things that the Native Americans have done. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we had talked with you earlier about the reasons for needing our reparation, and we also talked to you about a number of things pertaining to black codes and laws. Now, on my webpage, which I have completed for you, and it'll be ready hopefully by this Friday for you to go in to the chat room, and then you can actually link over into the room where I have the questions prepared. And there are approximately 10 questions prepared. And this is not a test. It's just a little quiz to keep us up on things. And if you answer the questions well, then you can go to my website and you can download free of charge. I think there's about 7 or 8 of my single poetry on the CD. So that will be available to you. And I just want you to stay up on things and get involved and be participatory. You don't necessarily have to score 100 in order to go to the website. In the future, we're hoping to feature a large amount of downloads that you can ascertain, like affirmations, songs that you can obtain for your own personal website. Now, once again, I want you to get involved because in order to design a plan, we need every helping hand participating, giving input. So I'd like to open up the lines of this room this evening and invite you in to call at any time. We admonish your questions, your suggestions, and we also want your input because this is going to take a large group of people to participate. However, when the final decision is made, I'm sure you know we lose a lot of people, and they go to the point of finalizing things with maybe a handful of people. But nevertheless, just in case Obama decides to come back to us and say, yes, I would like to entertain reparation. Now, what type of plan do you have for me to entertain? We need to be ready, ladies and gentlemen. We really need to be ready. That's part of our problem. We always a day late and a dollar short. We always, I'm fixing to, I'm fin to, I'm finna do that, I'm about to do that, I was going to do that, always fixing to and in the process of being. We don't want to just be in the process of being. We want to be doing. So when we stay up late at night, put our heads together and put our minds together, we could come up with all sorts of things. So what if we don't have reparation immediately right now? We can file that away under things that are done. So when Obama does send his crew, we're ready. We'll talk our game and our talk, and Obama will say, yeah, yeah, yeah. People always talking, but they never have anything in hand. And we can stand right there with a proposal in our hand and lay it on them right then and there. Is that being prepared or what? Now, that's part of the problem. Part of the problem, I was told, that we're facing is planning, being prepared, having a journal, documenting things, and being able to plan and project in advance. Why do we always say, girl, I can't see that far in advance? I'm planning one day at a time and don't know if I can make that. We always think that we can't plan in advance because of filthy lucre, because we don't have enough money to see into the future. I write out plans all the time. I don't care if I don't have the money to add to that project. I write them out. I prepare them. I say this is on my to-do list, and these are my wish list, and I put them away. And as the money presents itself, I have those things already lined out and know how I'm going to work it. Let me give you for an example. Now, quite a few of you guys know that I am involved with Home Economists, and that's part of the reason why we're talking about economics in this room and talking so much about filthy lucre. In my line of profession as a family life educator, we deal a lot with things that Martha White dealt with. Economics and trying to keep the budget balance and trying to manage households and help people learn to manage theirs. So, previously, I had planned out a whole project to do with the Ecohood, dealing with the sustainability of dealing with organic gardening. I knew that I couldn't put that program together right away. Nevertheless, I went and checked up on the greenhouse and compared the comparable prices. I even went and checked with various different vendors to see how much it would cost to buy their plywood to produce a greenhouse. I went as far than that. I even checked up on the seeds and found out that tomatoes were a lot easier to grow and that my discounts would be better in purchasing the tomatoes while I start my greenhouse in-house. I even got involved with finding out where and who was doing the conferences and the workshops. Well, didn't you know it? I thought you knew it. When Obama said, yes, we're going to be about sustainability, that meant that it was on his agenda. There was going to be monies set aside so that we could infiltrate money into the neighborhood through the Ecohoods and through the sustainability organic gardening for black farmers. What do you mean you're not a farmer? What do you think all of that cotton picking was all about? That was a cotton picking business. It was over 60% of the economy. Now, gardening and farming is our thing. Here's where I think we can get in on that reparation thing. Girl, we got some farmers out there in the audience right now. I see them. They can lay down the soil, plant the seed, and before they go to bed overnight, it is cropped up a harvest. That's how good some of us are. And even some of the women sitting in this room right now have green thumbs. And I'm not talking about going out buying a bag of fertilizer, pouring it all over the ground, and everything spring up that has electricity and all sorts of side effects. I'm talking about people who know how to put the composites together and put the right thing in the ground so we have vegetables that spring up with silt on them and all the minerals. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as I deviated a little bit, but we're going to get back on course, I deviated to tell you that if you're not online checking out the sustainability funds and the workshops and seminars, and if you're not finding out who's doing the workshops, you ought to be, because therein lies your reparation. Grant money, say it with me, grant money for sustainability for black farmers. It's available, ladies and gentlemen. You could become a farmer. Your mama was one, and probably your papa too. You could become a farmer, an organic gardener can start right in their kitchen, gardening things and planting and potting, and then building a little greenhouse outside in the back and putting every type of vegetable they think they want to grow in there. And they don't want to stop there. There's some people even getting involved with raw milk. And you know I gave a segment on raw milk. We ought to package that stuff and put health all over it and put our name on it. Because the cows are producing it for us. Mother Nature is giving us businesses and giving us products. All we need to do is package it and slap a label on it and follow the guidelines, of course, of all the regulations so that we don't get in trouble with the law. You know, IRS can also be your friend if you do the right thing. Now, I'm going to say this. Economic is my game. And I figure if we are going to talk to Obama about plans that we have for this reparation, the new reparation could be recycling, sustainability with the Echo Hoods, the school-to-home projects dealing with gardening in the hood. All of these things are available. Nobody is an expert. You all are level at the foot of the cross when you walk in on this topic. You pick up your books and you go to school. And you learn, and you understand the trade and the market and who your competitors are. Once you create a crop, there's many things that you can produce from this crop, and all sorts of cannings and individual packaging that you can come up with and take it to the market. And get your license, of course, because you're going to need a license to be an organic gardener. Now, this is just a little tidbit. And that's a way that we can look at getting our share of reparation through grant funding under sustainability. Now, back on the mark, we're going to get back with reparation. We know that money's coming. I've already told you we're going to speak it into existence. We know it's coming, and we're going to speak it into existence. So we're going to have something to do with it when it gets here. That's why I'm telling you, get you a project. Get you a plan. Plans that men have, they sometimes perish, but God is the best of planner. Align your plans with your higher self and make sure that they are in one accord so that when the time comes, and it will come, you will be ready to substantiate your reparation. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere, and I'll give you your world back in approximately 60 seconds and possibly to an hour. So just wait quietly as we get ready to bring the show to you as we present several plans that we can use to gain that filthy lucre for our reparations. Stay tuned. We'll be back in the air. And you know we can't do anything without the power of faith. And with the power of faith giving us assistance, we will be able to manifest all things into action. Let us go into the power of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the power of faith to sustain yourself on a daily basis.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith? Falling apart, dreams from the night,
I want you to lock that number in at 646-478-0270. Lock it in and keep it right there so that you can call in with your comments. This is the time to call in. This is your time now. And we've got to know our purpose. We have a purpose, and there is a plan for us, ladies and gentlemen. Just as we learned during the Kwanzaa season, everyone should know their Nia. Do you know your Nia? You got to know your Nia.
Yeah. One dedicated to the fifth principle, the principle of purpose, and I call it Nia. Say African people celebrating Kwanzaa, beginning on the 26th of December. Say me dash it in the roots, me dash it in the culture. Cause I'm an actor, mate, me a the field marshal. With the man Steve Cop and Chavin Duca. The purpose of our mission, you find it in Nia. I tell you black up people, say you must understand. Say each and every one of us, we're all African. We're coming from the roots and from the foundation. If you understand me, then you know our mission. Could I buy the richer were to live on, the poor were to die. You never miss the water till the well run dry. You never know a good thing until you try. Say you're spitting at the faggot, I go falling out your eye. A life will make you laugh and life will to make you cry. Like an African eagle, say your dreams are them a fly. Have a purpose in life until the day that you die.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have to know our Nia and our purpose. Even though Kwanzaa has transpired and went on, we continue to celebrate those seven principles, knowing our purpose. What are we here for? How do we collaborate and come together to work on one accord? Know your purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder would you go with me now as I get ready to prepare for our libation and to go into our ritual of calling on our ancestors. You can bring your list of ancestors with you and call out your heroes and sheroes. You are standing on holy ground, and as I pour libation, I will pour libations to the east, west, and south in all four cardinal directions. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. And I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I wash my hands in the water and my face so that I do not greet the Almighty with a stale face. I pour water to the ground. And I say Ashe. I light a candle for my mother's side of the family, Ashe. I light a candle for my father's side of the family so that they can have light. Direct them here and a path home. I set a glass of water for my father's side of the spirit. And I set a glass of water for my mother's side of the family. Ladies and gentlemen, We repeat these rituals so that we can acknowledge our ancestors and call them forth and into being. You may call on your ancestors now. I call on Robert Jenkins, I say Ashe. I call on Clara Mae Jenkins, and I say Ashe. I call on Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Sam Lily Ashe, George Lily Ashe, Lucille Day Ashe, Louise Lord Ashe, Ludell James Ashe, Isa Lily Ashe, Bessie Lily Ashe, Ruby Lily Ashe, Ruby Bracken Ashe, Clifford Bracken Ashe, Tom Harvey Ashe, Michelle Harvey Ashe, Michael Harvey Ashe, Mary Lou Hawkins Ashe, I called on Emmanuel Day Ashe, Elijah Day Ashe, Avery Day Ashe, and I say so be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now standing on holy ground, and I urge you to follow the rituals that I have done in calling on your ancestors. And we call on our heroes and sheroes. We call on Nat Turner. Nat Turner, we ask that you would be present here with us today. We call on Nina Simone. We call on Dr. Carruthers, Dr. Henry Clark, and we say Ashe. We call on Madam C.J. Walker, and we say Ashe. Harriet Tubman, Ashe. Booker T. Washington, Ashe. We call on their spirits and ask them if they will allow us to travel over their backs to stand on their shoulders. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will silence yourself now, taking deep breaths, breathing in and out the oxygen of positivity, breathing in the oxygen of affirming things and calling things as though they were, speaking things that be not as though they were, breathing in and out the expiration, quieting our spirit so we can hear from God. As you quiet your spirit, affirm that affirmative action is already yours and that it's already been prepared for you, that the riches of the wicked have been laid up for the just. Affirm that you only need to map out your plan and describing what it is you're asking for. Affirm that you have already received your reparation and that it's already been given to you. See it in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Confirm it in the spirit and it will present itself in the natural. As we call on reparation right now, we call reparation to us so that it is made available to each and every one of the households that are represented here, that each and every household whose parents were down the middle passage and lost a loved one who could have been thrown ashore, thrown back so that the sharks could take care of, to those loved ones who never made it, who were in that water, who experience a devastating death. We ask those spirits to come forward and to be present. And we ask that all of the ones that had a hand in this, the Spanish, the Caucasian, the Africans, all of them that had a hand in the slave trade, we ask that their hearts be heavy and that they will repent and ask for forgiveness. We ask that you would be reminded that we are not going to hold a memory of Gory Island in our head, that we are going to see better days and we are going to speak things in a positive way. We're not going to allow this to dampen our spirit or to bring us down. It is true that we once had a history that we weren't proud of as slaves. It's true that it took almost 65 years to make us into slaves because of our inability to submit ourselves. But it's also true that now we have a chance to design a plan and map out for ourselves so that every person is compensated for any loss, mentally or physically, through slavery. And we say that today we will affirm a plan, and the plan will be written, and he that readeth it, let him run with the plan, for the plan is for an appointed time, which is now. Embrace your plan. Assist with the plan. Be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. If you don't know why you want reparations and you can't find a reason to agree with it, then silence yourself. May your mouth forevermore be silent if you have nothing positive to say about Africans receiving their reparations. Ladies and gentlemen, speak the things that be not as though they were. Reparation has already come to us. We have already received it. We will speak in the present tense, not in the past tense. It is already here. We receive it by faith. Sanctuary 2x2. As we go into the gates of the sanctuary, we welcome our ancestors who are waiting for us so patiently. And we ask them to allow us to climb over their backs, to stand on their shoulders. What do they say about them? They say the body is dead, but they keep living. They say the body has gone back to the earth, but the spirit just keeps on moving. Iba ye ye, iba baba, olurum, moji ba igungun, moji ba igungun. As surely as Oye makes the wind to blow, and as surely as the storm brings changes, all life cycles must transform. All life cycles must transform. All things must rearrange as surely as the ocean. We say the ocean runs deep. The Akun, they walk again. We say the dead do not sleep. If you don't take care of your ancestors, exactly how do you expect them to take care of you? Then you are out there in the madness of this world, and then you have no one to embrace you. Exactly what are you going to do? Iba ye ye, the baba olurum, moji ba igungun, moji ba igun. Now we can go to our God, the Orishas. All of that is necessary. All of that is cool. But don't forget about the ancestors, lest you be a damn fool, like a damn fool. It's just like my Ileosha says, that you are an ancestor coming back to walk again. So when you go to the ancestors, my sisters and brothers, it's with yourself that you began. Now think. Now I think that this is deep. I think that it's truly profound, and there's no time left for nonsense, nor time for fooling around. They say we are closest to the ancestors. They want us to succeed. So I break to my knees in a heartbeat to ask for what I need. So we fall down to the ground, and we revere and honor the dead, Yes, it's true. They say, yay, yay, Toby, baba, Toby, just what do you want me to do? Eba, yay, yay, eba, baba, ulurumi, moji, bu, moji, goon, moji, ba, igungun, moji, ba, igungun. They say, honor and respect ancestors, all of those that have come before. They say, build the daddy house and open up the door. They say, honor and respect the shores of home. They say, honor those that survived the Middle Passage and their souls were left to roam. They say, honor and respect the ancestors, starting with yourself and starting with me, starting with all those you cannot see who pray on your behalf deep down in the middle of the night. Elevate all those strong spirits that never once gave up the fight. Iba ye ye, iba baba, ulurumu moji ba igungun, moji ba igungun. So we build the dead a house, and we dress and bless the shrine. We invite our people to earth to come. And then we open our minds. We light a candle for our mother's people. And we light a candle for our father's people, too. Then we feed the dead faithfully. That's what we have to do. We pray for Iwa Pelu each and every day, good character and good conduct. And then we open to the earth to command, and then we open our minds. We light a candle for our mother's people, our father's people, too. Then we feed the dead faithfully. That's what we have to do. We pray for Iwa Pelu each and every single day. Then we sit down, we be quiet, and listen to what they have to say. What they have to say. When the time comes, we make a mass and robe with Junjun. That's what we have to do. Every single day, then we sit down. We be quiet and listen to what they have to say. When the time comes, we make a mask and a robe with Junjun and beautiful cloth. We invite the dead to walk again. What a magnificent parade. Iba ye ye, iba baba, ulurum, muji ba ugungung, muji ba ugungung. Iba ye ye, iba baba, ulurum, muji ba igungung, muji ba igung. Iba ye ye, iba baba, muji ba igung. Ladies and gentlemen, we must remember that we are ancestral worshipers and not ancestors believing in the dead. We're not believing in the dead, but we believe that we could commune with the dead. We prepare a home for the ancestors. We even feed the ancestors. We acknowledge them and pay homage to them, and we consult them for direction. Now, we're going to consult the ancestors today to ask them for guidance in the right path and the method to take in order to lay a plan down for our success for reparation. We ought to exalt ourselves in asking for assistance. We ought to ask our elders for assistance as well as our ancestors. Now, when you do something as big as laying a plan for reparation, you ought to remember to consult your ancestors. And we're going to ask our ancestors, oh, ancestors, please come and guide us today as we prepare and make a plan for the future to come. As we prepare to make a plan for the future to come, we are soliciting for your assistance. We're asking you to guide us and to show us the proper way. We're asking you to direct us in everything that we must lay in this plan. We're asking you to seek within your mind and recall the things that are necessary to put in this plan. What are the losses, ancestors? What are the losses that our people had? What are the things that they had to travail through? What are the losses? You say that there has been a dismantling. You say that there has been a genocide. People of African descent, African Americans, displaced all over the land. You say that some are without mothers and fathers. You even say that some need to also collect for punitive damages. They say that, you say that also we need to lay a plan for our future. And as we lay a plan for our future ancestors, we ask you to be in the midst of guiding us and directing us. As we lay a plan for our future, as we begin to put the plan together, we ask and seek your assistance, ancestors. Please give us your assistance, we pray. Ancestors, we ask that you will give us direction for our plan, the right path that we will follow, not being argumentative, not deceiving one another, and not submitting the Willie Lynch theory as we have in the past, but to lay a foundation for our reparation. We ask that you will be in the midst of everything we say and do, and we ask that you will guide us in all truths. We know that the Emancipation Proclamation was a farce. We know that some of us never knew we had our freedom in January of 1865. And when we finally did find out our freedom was at hand in June of 1865, we didn't know what to do with our freedom. Now that we have gone and sojourned over 400 years after slavery, we know what to do with our freedom now. Help us, ancestors, to lay the solid ground for building and for solidifying a concrete agreement. Help Obama to be sensitive to the needs of his people. Help him to be able to open his mind to hear what the spirits have to say. As we speak now and become quiet, we'd like to hear what the spirits have to say. Speak to us now in your own way and guide us on all paths as we pray. Thank you, ancestors, because we know you always remember us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to commercial for a brief second, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere to start our topic. And once again, we want to thank the ancestors for being present here with us today. And ancestors, you are certainly welcome here in this segment.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out of this joint. I'll be sure. Keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some common thief. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out of this joint. I'll be sure. Keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Our topic for this evening, reparation, selecting a reparation plan for the African Americans. As I talked to you earlier and I told you those people who receive their reparation and the history of the payments, I indicated to you that the Japanese and the Jewish had a claim, the Indians and the Ottawa, Michigan Indians, as well as the Seminole Indians, the Sioux Indians, the Alaskan Native American Indians, and the Germans and the Jews. Now, as you know, The Africans can lay claim primarily to being part Native American, and however, some of them don't realize that they have Native American blood. But nevertheless, we need to lay our own plan, and we need to structure something that is going to be concrete enough. Now, I know you know that Dr. Anderson said that he wanted us to be done with affirmative action and start a new plan. The new plan, the new deal, would mean that we are no longer looking at the structure here in the United States of America. We know that there's a collapsing going on here in the United States, and we know that many people, as I speak, are preparing now to voyage to other nearby neighboring countries. And as we sit here and speak today, we also know in the spirit that this system has collapsed long before Obama went into office. It had already failed. When there's not enough gold to back up the dollars, and when your economic situation looks gloomy, and you're borrowing from all parts of the world, then you're in a dire need, and it's a very, very risky situation. The money is just not there, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that the reason why the system collapsed is because the money is not there. So is this a good time for the African Americans to be putting a plan together for reparation? Do they think it's feasible? Can it ever be addressed intelligently? Or is this a farce too? No, I don't think so. Because we're getting ready to cross over, ladies and gentlemen, into a land of milk and honey. If you didn't hear my last segment, I think it was 2 segments ago, where I talked about the United States collaborating and combining to become one country with Africa. One nation under a groove. That's right, African Americans. We're getting ready to cross over into being in collaborations with America and Africa. That's a good thing for African Americans. It's a great thing. So when we lay the plan, we lay a structured plan to go to our homeland to help rebuild the country, to lay roads, to build streams, to build canals, to build sky rises, to build institutions like schools and daycares, to build banks. All of us got skills here in the United States. Some of us even have those BS and player haters degrees, PhDs. We got credentials and we've got skill. That accounts for something. We can go up and head up factories and head up exhibitions and head up projects. What we need to create are projects. Projects. The projects should be designed for at least 5-year planning. We do 5-year planning to assure us that everything will follow through and we can see the outcome. Most of the time, African Americans' planning is too shallow, too vague, and too short. You need at least 5 years to plan and project. And as we project today with our 5-year planning, we're asking you to call in the room and give input at 646-478-0270. You can call in and give your input. We're also going to ask you to go to my webpage, and you'll be able to link up with the question and answering page. And we also have videos on that page. And there's one video on there particularly I want you to address, and that is the video on the literacy part that talks about all of the African books that you should be conscious on. Do that video. And if there's books on there that you already have, go back and refresh your memory. But we're laying plans today. Just as we said, the plans are not necessarily to stay on this ground where we are completely famished and broke. Yes. You know, I know people don't want to say it, but America is broke. And that is no shame. A system that has collapsed at this point, everyone needs to be alerted, because where you can go where there are raw materials in its rare form, there's opportunities, even for my organic garden. There's opportunity for sustainability. There's opportunity for recycling. There's all manners of opportunities that can be laid out in a plan. Nobody receives any monetary gains in their hand. In exchange for a plan and a project, a business plan perhaps, you, not just a plan, an outline business plan, you can receive funding to help you carry that plan out for 5 years. During that time, you work the land and you create from your substance. Obama and the African government can get involved with this opportunity to right a wrong. And a large amount of the countries are already open to it. They're asking you to come back home. Come back home. Come back home, children. Come back home. You can come back home. They're calling you every day in all kinds of advertisements and media and print. They're asking you not just to come and spend your dollars, but to come and bring your brows and your intelligence. Yes, they are lacking a lot of knowledge and know-how. And there are people right now in Africa that are building, developing, and you can't tell me it's not so. I already know some of them personally. And they're building and they're developing. And they're coming back home to get some of their brothers and sisters to take them back over too. Isn't it funny how things go around in a circle? We're now getting ready to board that ship and go right back to Africa. You know, God doesn't miss anything. Everything happens for a reason, and all things work together for good. If we African Americans had never had a chance to come here to get educated and become acquainted with our skill and art, then we could have never gone back to do anything for our homeland. Not that slavery was good, but things go in a full circle, and all things work together for good for them that love God. And we've been temporarily deterred, but we're back on track now. So you say, Omi, we're going to design a plan to go to Africa to create businesses, institutions, building roads, mining diamonds. You say all of these things are possible. Yes, they are. And the reason why I know it, not only because people have told me personally, I've seen it in my dreams and in my sleep. I know it exists. I know it exists. It's the only way that you can fix this problem of reparation. You cannot receive a check or funds here in this country. Because right now, America could not sustain that even if they wanted to because of the debts that we're in. Now, if you're willing to just take a voyage and go across the Atlantic and go to another country, you might be able to ascertain your reparation. Now, who's going to give it to us over in Africa? That can all be worked out. You have diamonds now. You have all forms of raw material. And you have ground that is fit to plant anything in certain parts of Africa. Planting and harvesting as farmers. We came here to learn how to crop the field to become farmers. Now we go back home to become farmers and run our institutions. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you a plan to go back home. I present to you a plan to go back to Africa, to resume your positions as priests and priestesses, as high goddess and gods. I present to you an opportunity to go back and re-educate your brothers and sisters and bring them up to par. There is no way you could stay here in this country to ascertain anything. That is why your banking systems are collapsing. That is why your school systems are collapsing. And that is why the institution, as we know it, by 2012 will fully be collapsed as we know it. And that way of life will be no more. and dollars will not even carry the same value here in this country. It was all prophesied. Go over in the book of Daniel and you could read the prophecy. Daniel and the lion. Go over in the book of Daniel, read it. It's a story there about Daniel. It's a story. Daniel faced the lions for worshiping the Lord. Daniel faced the lion for worshiping the Lord. It seems there was no help at all that will be in store. But when you turn your victory and look unto the Lord, your victory is on its way, and all you do is pray, pray on. For you are who the Lord's been looking for, pray on your knees, for this is where the battle begins. Pretty soon you'll have the victory, pray on. Now when Daniel faced the lions for worshiping the Lord, it seems there was no hope at all that would be in store. There was no hope at all that would be in store. But in the book of Daniel, the prophecy goes forth. The prophecy goes forth. And in the book of Revelation, it was prophesied that money would have no value. It was prophesied that you won't be able to borrow or lend unless you carry the mark of the beast. That's another whole segment to talk about, carrying the mark of the beast. But the plan has to be laid, and it has to be laid over in Africa. I'd like to read you a poem that Phyllis Wheatley wrote. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about Phyllis Wheatley before. Something that I didn't even know. Phyllis Wheatley was an elegant narrator and poet. She thought so highly of herself because the Caucasians, they applauded her work so much. She even got an invitation to go see a queen and go into, I think, Paris it was. And she wrote so elegantly about all these things in life, but she never wrote anything about the struggle of black people or slavery. She didn't want those indecent things to cross her lips. So she never talked about them. She never told about how black people suffered through slavery and what they went through. Those were never concepts that she preached about. Phyllis Wheatley did everything in her power to do the right thing for Caucasians, but was never accepted. She died penniless. And from what I understand, she never, ever represented black people as an advocate for our cause. But nevertheless, I want to read one of her poems on being brought from Africa to America. 'Tis mercy brought me from my pagan land, taught my benign soul to understand that's God and that there's a Savior too. Once our redemption neither sought nor knew. Some view our sable race with scornful eyes. Their color is a diabolic dye. Remember, Christian Negroes, back black as Cain, may be refined and join the angelic train. Now, this was a poem that she wrote, and she was not in touch with our struggle. She was not in touch with the African's plight. She merely saw herself moving up the ladder because of her ability to write so elegantly. Without the struggle of your black brothers and sisters, and acknowledging that we are all advocates for our brothers and sisters, it did her no good. Now, we're going to either struggle together or struggle apart. But I do know for one thing, there is going to be a mighty wind blowing that is going to sweep all areas of America, and a change is going to be in the atmosphere to understand that this continent here in the United States is unstable. And if we're ever going to gain stability, we must think of traveling abroad, back home preferably, to Africa. And we must do it with our eyes wide open, by researching every aspect of the planned trip. That's right. You need to plan a trip, and you need to sketch out every aspect of the trip and what your purpose is going to be for going to Africa. And this is the Spirit speaking to you. The Spirit is telling you that be quick to pray and ask the Spirit to guide you, and be quick to allow God to direct you, because right now things are happening so fast and expediently. Some people are having to make decisions overnight, but we don't want that. We want to study this thing before it comes upon us and make our preparations and plans now, so that we are not like the Israelites who go there and find themselves in an area where the water is damaged. We want to make sure that we understand our journey and our trip and don't lose people along the way as we make this journey. We are going to have to make a journey. We are going to have to make a journey. And we might as well plan appropriately so that everyone is astute to what we're supposed to be doing, so that people are not doing the same thing and people are delegated to the proper headquarters to get things done. There's a lot of work that is up ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of things that need to be talked about. Now, I know Obama worked feverishly to get people out in their communities working and trying to do everything they can, but some of us have seen the perishing African-American communities and the hoods, and they all seem to look the same way, crumbling in destruction. Now, it's going to take a God to come in to refurbish those communities in the urban hood. It's going to take a lot of work. And before this century is out, we might want to take that energy and put into a plan, because you might not be here in this country to live it out, but you might need to make plans to jump on that caravan. So you need plans. I want to tell each and every one of you, sit down with your family and start making some plans for transition. Start making plans for transition and start putting together every aspect of your life and your family life, and your jobs, because there is a voice that is planned and is going to be taken soon. And when we are in position to come together to talk about it, there will be a great meeting, and we will all have to come together. And we will meet, I'm for sure, because the plans are as clear and as clairvoyant as I see them on the tip of my tongue, that there is to be a transitioning of a great magnitude of people migrating back to Africa. There is going to be a large number of people who won't want to go. So you're going to have gnashing of teeth of those who don't want to leave this community. You're going to have gnashing of teeth of those who want to stay behind. You're going to have problems with families having to be split up. You're going to have problems with children not wanting to be with their families and parents not wanting to leave their children. So now is the time to sit down, to discuss those things, air them out, and make provisions and plans for them. The journey is here, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's here. I know it's here. I see it. And Daniel faced the lions for worshiping the Lord. It seemed there was no hope at all that would be in store. But when you turn your face to God, the answer's in the air. And when you know your place to go is right there in your path, pray on. For you, the Lord's been looking for. Pray on, you need, for this is where the battle it began. Pretty soon you'll have the victory. Pray. going to have to pray, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to pray just as David did, just as Moses did, and just as Daniel did. Continue to pray and ask God to give you a vision for your journey. Ask God to give you a plan for what you're about to take up. The plans of a man fail, but the plans of God prevail. As God intervenes and gives us a plan, it is a solid plan. It is a plan that will incorporate male, females, women, and children. It is a plan that will delegate work to every aspect of the family. Families, you're going to have to get your households in order. Because right now, some of you mothers are doing too much. And you're planning for everything. And you're going to work. And you're having to carry the burden on your shoulder. Then you have to come home and manage too. Some of your household members are falling short of their responsibility. You know who you are. And I see you out there, and you're sitting right in front of me, and some of you are present here today. You are overburdening your family because you refuse to do anything because you just don't have the faith, and you can't believe for anything. If you believe on what it is you see, then believe on what it is you can't see. Believe also on your wife. Because she is your God. Believe also on your wife, because she is your God. If you've ever been to heaven, you've been to heaven through the legs of your wife or your significant other. There's no other way that you can connect to heaven, men. So you need to understand. Listen to what your wives are saying. Get in collaboration with her. Don't let her carry the burden. Stand up and be a bona fide man. Take on the responsibility. And if you can't manage, get behind her and help her. But don't hinder her. And those of you who are hindrance, you're going to have to get out of the way. That is why so many women have left and so many men are leaving home, because they become a hindrance. And they're not a helpmate. And sometimes it's in God's will, because what is not working, if the arm dies and become malignant and cannot function, what does the world tell you to do? To cut it off. And some of us are in malignant relationships, are in malignant marriages, and they're going to have to be shaken up, because the kind of work that we got to do when we make this journey and this transition, we're going to have everyone on one accord in cooperative effort, not fighting and bickering and undermining and using negative words. We're going to need all the faith in the world that we can muster up. But we certainly don't need someone undermining their husbands or their wives and pulling them backwards. What we see behind us is done with. It is finished. What we are leaving behind us cannot compare to the mansions in the sky. He said, I go to prepare mansions for you in the sky. Had not my Father told you these things? He has prepared mansions in the sky. Where the Africanos had royalty, it has been taken away, and it has been laid up for the just. The riches of the wicked will be no more, and those gains will be laid up for the just. You are going to have houses that you didn't even build with your own hand. You are going to possess land that you never put money on. You are going to walk into royalty by your birthright. You do have a birthright, you know. You have royalty and a birthright. Your birthright is that you should walk into royalty. What I'm telling you in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen, hear what the spirits have to say. Not Omi, but what the spirit have to say. God has laid a place up for you. He has prepared a place for you. Your higher self, your Ori, has willed it. He has willed you to have abundance pressed down, runneth over in other men's bosoms. Excess. Excess to give to other people. Now, I'm not talking about every one of you. It takes work. You got to be like the ants. You got to be able to work hard in a season like the ants. So when you store up, you can reap where you stored up. But don't think you're going to reap where you didn't store. It's some work that needs to be done. And it needs to start in each and every one of our households. This nonchalant behavior with men not wanting to assist women and men only wanting to do two things, eat, have a warm place to go to bathroom, and sit down and do nothing, it's time for you to get up and assist and aid your God. Because the work that we're going to have to do is going to require duality. We're going to rule in duality and king and queenship. We're going back to a land that acknowledges duality. Now, what we have learned in the past, some of it is going to even be taken away from our memory. We are going to have to take on a whole new concept of living, a new lifestyle. It's almost like when they told the young man to go west, and they all went west, migrating. When we came over here before, it was against our will. This time, we have plans, and we're going to put those plans in effect. We go willingly back to our homeland, and we know what we're going to embark upon and what we're going to engage in. It will be no accident, but you got to do the preparation. The long-term planning is what African Americans have to learn to do. Long-term planning prepares you so that there are no mistakes and you can compensate for those mistakes or idiosyncrasies. However, if you do something haphazardly and at the last minute, it will fail because preparation hasn't been made. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand. Some of you are scratching your head right now saying, what is this woman talking about? I never wanted to go back to Africa, never left anything there, dropped my bag down south, and never went back there. But some things you have to pick up on and revisit them again. Some things in our life we have to go back to and fix. There's some things that need to be fixed in Africa that only you and I could do. We are all called to a purpose. And therein lies work, which is what we don't have here. There's so many young people want to work, but people say, ain't no work. What does a man do when he can't work? Man was created to work. God is providing work for us, and he is calling us to it because it's important that men and women have work to sweat to their brows. Don't think that it's strange that he's preparing for you to go back to the homeland because the work is what you need for your sanity. And that is why so many people have lost their mind. They have nothing to do. When you have nothing to do, you become placated to your own very mind. It's vacant in that space in the brain, and you become idle. And what do they say about an idle mind? It becomes the devil's workshop. And there lies when the devil sets in, and then you have all manners of men walking around like they done lost their ever-loving mind. Well, I'm going to help you find it. Omi's going to help you find it so we can start those planning process now. Give yourself something to do, and give you some work to do when you get to Africa, too. Because work is ordained, ladies and gentlemen. We've been called to do work. And without proper work, ladies and gentlemen, our minds metamorphosize. We change and our minds take on different forms. Even the synapse and the fluid in our mind changes when we don't have plans for our life. Plans for marriage is very important. You just don't up and marry Joe Mary over here because he looks so fine in that slick suit he got on and he got a paycheck coming in. You plan your strategy. You want to get to know him. You want to know something about his character and who he is. Plans are important, ladies and gentlemen. The plans of the man fail, but the plans of God always prevail. Let God have a hand in everything you do. Whatever you do, Let God have a hand in it, and he will see you through. Make sure that God is involved in your plans, and you got to get self out of the way. You have to get self out of the way and for God to use you. See, I had to get out of the way so God can use me. And you're going to have to get out of the way so God can use you. Sometimes we are world's worst enemy. We have no discipline. We have no self-control. We want everything we see, and we want it here and now. And we don't want to wait for it. And when somebody tells us we've got to give up something and do something healthier, we want to fight those people. And we continue to wonder why our life is so miserable when we don't set our heart on healthy planning strategies. We plan for failure. Now, this time around, ladies and gentlemen, we're planning to succeed. We're planning to go to Africa to succeed. We're going to get over the grain house. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We will be the head honcho and get over the grain house and call things a be not as though they were. And what I mean by getting over the grain house, picture Joseph when he fell in a well. And remember, he sank so low that he ended up in prison somewhere. But see, God was able to bring him out of prison because he learned a valuable skill about using his mind to clairvoyantly see into the future and into the lives of others. He was able to decipher a dream. And because of that dream and interpretation, he was able to get over the grain house. I wonder how many of you got a dream. How many of you got a plan so that you can get over the grain house? Joseph got over the grain house. And when he got over the grain house and all power was in his hand and he made the decision over the grain house, when his brothers came a-knocking, he loved them with all of his heart and soul. He was so hurt to see them coming in being so poor and broken down. It broke his heart to see his baby brother come in. It brought him to his knees, but he was over the grain house so he could provide everything they need. He secretly provided for them, with them not knowing that he was their brother Joseph. And as he passed on the grains to them and helped them to harvest their stock and to feed their families, none of them knew that this was Joseph because he was dressed in royalty. He had abundant, they tell me. They tell me that he was dressed so regal that he was decked out like a king. He was decked out in all of his array. So his brothers thought, no, this can't be Joseph. We left him in the well. But little did they know that God had a plan because Joseph had a dream. And not only did he have a dream, he could interpret dreams. He had a gift. And what he did was use that gift to get over the grain house. I wonder how many of you have a dream to go to Africa and to visualize with me so that you can get over the grain house and go back and help your brothers and sisters who are going to be locked away here in the United States. Dream a dream and have a vision. Always plan. Always write in your journal of things that you see that you want to happen in your life. And begin to see yourself employed in doing that. Joseph did. He got over the grain house. And they tell me that Solomon was so rich. He was just so rich, incomparably rich. He got over the grain house. And if they can get over the grain house, don't you know with all the education we so-called got and knowledge that we too can get over the grain house? I don't know about you. My plan that I'm writing is to get over the grain house. And once I get over the grain house, I can take authority, I can delegate, and I can implement, and I can see to it that others don't have to be poor. Your main reason for getting authority and getting stewardship is that you can implement delegating orders, not for you to take your position and use it in strife to usurp your authority, but to use your authority in places where people have been downtrodden, suppressed, to pull them up and give them dignity again. Yes, we see the Africans who've lost dignity in videotapes. And yes, we see children with flags over them. They have shown you the lesser part of Africa. But believe you me, that's like the scum of our ghetto. There are other rich and royal places in Africa, I can assure you, that are built up and developed that you have never seen or laid eyes on. Remember, he went to prepare mansions for us. Why don't you get on the internet and start locating some of those mansions that are already stored up and laid up for you? Houses that you didn't even have to build, that have already been built for you, that they're going to vacate and leave for you. I don't know if you're ready or not to make that journey, but if I was you, I would be taking out of that clothes closet my suitcase and everything I thought I could ship over there in advance, and I'd be making preparation for that journey. So what if they got lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my, lions and tigers and bears. They got emeralds, jewelry, diamonds, and they got all manners of oil. You know that stuff you have to pay $3 a gallon for? It's available, and it might even be in the land that you apprehend. Who knows? But this is the motherland we're talking about. And if you don't have a desire, a strong desire to go back to your motherland, who's been laying there, allowing the whole world to suck off her memory glands and to completely famish her. It's our turn now to suck off the memory gland of our homeland and to utilize what gifts are there. It is our turn. This is the plan. This is the only plan. There is no plan here for America to presume with reparation. The plan has always been in Africa. Don't get it twisted. You owe Uncle Sam and the United States owes China, and we've just got a problem with everybody being in the red, having financial problems. Well, you say, Omi, can we start over again? What about those repossessed houses? Omi, can we start over again? This is your day. This is your chance to start over. This is your time to start over. You can't do anything else after you've hit bottom. After the bottom comes the top. After the beginning comes the end. This is the beginning of our life. Our lives are ending here, and something new is on the scene. I don't care how you take it, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you may be fighting the tears about making any kind of journey other than around the corner and back. Some of you may not even see what I see, because you can't famish going on any plane or boat. Some of you may have not been outside of the neighborhood before, and you're scared to death of going in any airport. Some of you have been fearing all along just making that trip to the hospital, and you don't know if you're going to be able to do it next month, but you know you need the surgery. You're going to have to get over the fear, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. If you are fearing anything, it didn't come from God, and you need to find out which spirit it is and get rid of it. Because God is not giving you the spirit of fear. Ye are God's little children, and ye have overcome them. Now is the time to walk in the annals of the God. Now is the time to possess your land. Your land has been laid up for you, and it's already set aside. They've divided it out. It's right in the scriptures. The land will be laid out for you, and the African tribal chiefs have divided land and laid it out for you. They've done exactly as God told them. Lay the land out for them. Set it aside for them so they can possess the land. What are these preachers talking about? Child, y'all about to possess y'all land here in the United States. There is no land to possess. There is no houses to possess. They got so many that are backed up in foreclosure, you can touch them if you wanted to. So what happens when things come to an end? What happens when things come to an end? There's a new beginning, a new start, a new look on life, and you can get over the grain house. How about it, ladies and gentlemen? How many of you want to get over the grain house? How many of you want to be a part of the Joseph story and replicate what Joseph did? How many of you can see with my eyes and see what I see? I see what God has prepared for us, mansions in the sky. So beautiful that no one could have seen it with their own eyes. There have been land that's set aside for you. All we need to do is possess and claim the land. How many of you are willing to sit down and put a plan together with your family, making strategies to close out things here and bring closure to the end of a session here in the United States? How many of you are willing to sit down with your family and loved one to have even a discussion? You're going to have to, whether you like it or not. It is going to be a topic of discussion, and sooner than you think. So why not take that time, ladies and gentlemen? Call into the radio station. Omi will talk to you about it. 646-478-0270. Call in and be a part of the discussion, because we are laying grounds for a real plan. And we're not playing in here. This is not about us sitting here waiting till this country collapse on top of us. It's about making plans ahead of time, knowing what our strategy will be before this continent goes under. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to tell you that. Look around you. Omi's voice is not the only voice blowing in the wind. Usually whatever a prophet is saying, somebody else will confirm that and line up with the word, and you will hear it somewhere else. So if my words are being confirmed, think not that God didn't give me what it is I'm saying in the spirit. So accept it and take it and run with it. And sit down with your family members and make plans, short-term plans if you have to, and long-term plans, but you will have to plan. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you have been a joy to work with on this topic of reparation, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere tomorrow, and we'll be discussing those plans, and then I'm going to send you to that website so we can talk about some of those questions that we have there in that room. And once again, I want you to think about your plan. And go home and sit down and plan with your wife. And husband, get off the couch. Take a break and sit down and call an organizational meeting and discuss with your family about what plans have to be made in the event that we have to have an escape plan in order to receive our reparation. Have a good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And remember to get back in here tomorrow and get on the topic and also voice your opinion. We'd like to hear from you. Once again, on that note, we say, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and